Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of the fire within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, Moses called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen them, the way that the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to the Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt.
Thank you, Abby. Okay, I'm going to need a little bit of help with this next part. So Roxy and Sophie and Ramila, can you come and help? Excellent, and we'll gather some others too in just a moment. But thank you, Abby, for reading that. This is a wonderful story, and there's so much here that we're not going to be able to get into all of it this morning in just these few minutes. But as we think about this story, if you guys want to come up the front here, and the encounter that Moses has with God, we're going to learn something about God and something about Moses. Now, this starts with a fire, a burning bush, a very strange burning bush, because although the bush was burning, it wasn't being sort of consumed by the fire. And Moses stopped and turned aside. And I wonder sometimes whether God needs to use very strange and unusual circumstances to get our attention. And maybe we're thinking this morning about what is it that God uses to call us and to call our attention, and whether or not we are paying much attention to God in our daily lives and in the things that we come across. But we're going to look at verse 4 of this little read. I'm going to use you in just a moment. And it says this, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. God calls Moses by name. We'll just put those two words on the screen. Moses, Moses. God knows his name. God knows his name. Now, Moses, this is where I need some help. Moses is a character in the Old Testament. Who can tell me something about Moses and what happened to him when he was probably about the same kind of age as Theo here? Who knows what happened? Ulysses?
Didn't he go in the river?
Didn't he go? He did, yes. Where was he? What country was he in? Anyone know? What country was Moses born in?
Egypt.
Yes, he was in Egypt. At that time, the people of God in Egypt were being treated really, really badly by the rulers. And the rulers had said that if you have a baby boy, you need to throw them into the river Nile. And it was terrible, a terrible time. But what happened, so what we're going to do is Eunice is going to help. And do you guys want to come help as well? We need quite a bit of help. And Chloe, you come. And Elena, you come. Anyone else like to come? Alicia, you want to come? Do you want to come? You can come too. So here is, this is the river. So if you want to grab hold of the river, there we go. This is the river Nile. And kind of stretch it out a little bit and wave it around. And so do we have Moses' mother? Who wants to play Moses' mum? Elena, okay. So if you go around and get a hat from Eunice. There we go, Moses' mum. And do we have Moses? Do we have Moses? We could have used Theo, but I'm not sure. You get this. There you go. Hold him up for everyone to see. There we go. Here's Moses. So Moses is here and Moses' mum. And so what Moses' mum decides to do is she decides to make a basket. She called it a Moses basket, which was sensible. I'm going to grab the basket. So here's the basket. Moses' mum. So do you want to put a Moses into the basket? Brilliant. Do you want to put him face up? Yep, brilliant. And then if you want to... Now, I need to get your help. Can you help with something special here? Okay, hold it up above his head. There we go. Right, could you, hang on, can you help him up with that? It's just, I want to get him to hold the basket. So you've, Moses, Mum, you've put Moses on your head. Well, that would be one way. Can you hold that for me? Just hold it up. There we go. Brilliant. Right, so here's Moses floating on the basket in the river. So Moses, Mum, do you want to just go stand back there? Because you sort of went back, go about halfway down. That's it. Perfect. Now, also, the other character we have was Moses' sister. Who wants to be Moses' sister? Ramilla? Okay, you put the hat on then. So I want you, Moses' sister, to come around the front here. And you need to keep watch. So look like you're watching. Watch and see what's going to happen to baby Moses as he goes floating down the river. Do you want to move him around a little bit? Floating on the river. There we go. There were some reeds, but we're not going to put the reeds in today. Okay, and then there's a third character. Are you noticing how these are all women, by the way? This is Pharaoh's daughter. Who would like to be Pharaoh's daughter? Oh, that was a quick hand up. All right then. So Roxy, you come around over here. So you're just out having a wash, and you suddenly spot Moses. So look, can you do that? Kind of do a look. You see him? There we go. Excellent. Now go over and look in the basket. And hang on, Moses' sister, you step back. You're just watching at this point. So Pharaoh's daughter, can you pick up the baby? There we go. You pick the baby out of the basket, and Pharaoh's daughter. It's good we dropped the basket rather than the baby. Pharaoh's daughter felt sorry for this baby, and she said, oh, this must be one of those Israelite boys who's been put out onto the river. And she felt really sorry for him. And then what happened is Moses' sister, you come over, and Moses' sister, you stand here. Here we go. Moses' sister said, we've practiced this, as you can tell. Moses' sister said, would you like me to get someone to look after him? And Pharaoh's daughter said, yeah, that'd be great. So then you go and get Moses' mum, quick. There we go. And you bring her back. And then Moses' mum, you take Moses back. And then what happens next? This is my favorite part of the story. What happens next is Pharaoh's daughter agrees to pay Moses' mum to look after her own son. And so he grows up. And then when he's grown up, he comes back into the palace with Pharaoh's daughter. And he grows up as a prince. So this is the story of Moses. Do you know what Moses means? Moses, this is something you can remember. Moses means drawing out of the water. So there we go. Moses' mum's got Moses back. Brilliant. Should we give them a round of applause? Thank you. You can go back and sit down now, kids. Thank you. Thank you very much. Wait, you want to keep hold of Moses for a bit? You keep hold of Moses there. Wonderful. So why have we done all of that? Why have we done all of that? Just to make this point. That God called Moses by name. He said, Moses, Moses. God knew this whole story. God knew the background history of Moses. His name, remember last week we talked about names being important in the Bible. His name meant being drawn out of the water. God knew his story. But here's the thing about Moses that really hit me this week. Moses was 40 years old. It's a good age. When he this next bit's not so good, when he killed somebody and he had to run away because he was a murderer, and he ran away into the wilderness and he spent the next 40 years of his life as a shepherd, wandering around looking after somebody else's sheep before we reach chapter 3 that Abby read for us just now. So Moses has had this wonderful beginning that the kids acted out for us just now as a baby. But as a 40-year-old and then up to an 80-year-old, Moses' story was not so good. But God called him by name. God knew all of that when God called him from that bush. Moses, Moses. God knew his name. And here's the thing for this morning for us. God knows your name as well. Those kids that we had up here just now, I knew quite a few of their names, but not all of their names. God knows everyone. God knows your name. He knows your story. He knows your background, your success, and yes, your failure. Just as he knew Moses. And isn't that amazing this morning? Moses, Moses. God knows your name, your story. And here's the thing we learn about God, or one of the things we learn about God in this little passage. Theo is sort of cheering me on, I can tell. Get on with it, he's saying. Yes, okay. Here's what we learn about God. We're going to watch a video in a minute, so you'll like that. In verse 7, what does God tell Moses? He says, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out, and I am concerned. Those three words. I am concerned. God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, and everything in them, as we're celebrating today with our harvest celebration. This God looks and sees people in need, people suffering, their lives. There's lots more information on the appeal on the BMS website if you're able to get onto that. But we have today these envelopes. If you are able to give, then we can do this today and put it in the offering we're about to receive during this next song. But to say also, if you want to take these away and bring them back next week or even the week after, we will be collecting them and sending them on to BMS. So that's a wonderful opportunity for us to respond to the fact that God is concerned when he sees people in situations like those that we have just seen there. And the other thing that struck me earlier was just to imagine, I know the reaction sometimes is these needs are just too big and we are too little to make a difference. And I was thinking about Moses' mother and Moses' sister. And what if they had said, well, this is hopeless. I'm not going to bother waiting to see what will happen with the baby as he floats down the river. But they didn't. They did their part. They did what they could. And God honored that and God blessed that. So we have the same opportunity to do what we can. It may only be something small, but it may be exactly what God will use to meet need today. So we're sort of wrapping up the Exodus 3 encounter with God, because we thought already about how God called Moses by name. Moses, Moses. And he knows your name and he knows my name. And he knows everything that goes with that. Our stories, our backgrounds, our success and our failure. We thought about how God is concerned for those who are suffering, those who are in need. And if we look at verse 10 of Exodus chapter 3, there are three incredible words. This is how God is going to respond to the need that he has seen. And this is what God says in verse 10. He says this, "So now, go. So now, go. I am sending you, Moses, to rescue my people, to bring my people out of Egypt." And as I read that on Thursday, I was just struck by the simplicity of that. God saying, "So now, go. I am concerned, so now, go." And I wonder what it is that God wants to say to us, every one of us, whether we are young or not quite so young. What is God saying to us? How does God want us? Where, when does God want us to go? To go and bring hope and love and grace and mercy into situations that are difficult, where people are suffering, where people have no hope and no grace and no love and no mercy. We've seen this morning our gifts of food for the Birmingham City Mission, and they'll be taken off to Birmingham City Mission later this week. If you want to bring food in, as I've said, until Wednesday, please do so. We've thought about the harvest appeal that BMS have put out for us and how we could give to that. But in a way, those things are fairly relatively easy, to bring some food and to bring some money. I think there's another challenge, a deeper challenge maybe for us, about how we might personally be involved in responding to God's call. And to help us think about that, I'm going to invite Eunice to come, and I'm going to ask Eunice a couple of questions. It was already on. About what we said on the sheet there, about children and young people. And here at Harborne Baptist Church, we have children and young people. They're here with us today, which is brilliant, and we love having you with us, and it's great that you are here, and we love having your input into our services. This is a Sunday morning, Eunice.
Yep.
And we see our children, young people are here. There's a junior church program running and so on. But apart from the Sunday service, the Sunday morning, yep, what else does the church currently do with children and young people?
Currently, nothing.
Nothing?
More than that, does.
Okay, okay.
Not a lot.
So as a church, we met together for our church meeting extra back in July. And I wonder whether you could share a bit with us about some of the ideas that have come out of that and some of the visions and the prayers that we've been thinking and talking about to share with people here.
Yeah, so that day was many months ago, before the summer holidays, and it was just, for me, it was a really exciting day when there was a few of us gathered out there, and we took some time to pray and some time to dream and think and talk and discuss about what we can do as a church in Holborn to support the local teenagers and children and to support the young people that come here as well. There was ideas from people who were maybe kind of in their 80s, around there, people who were in their 60s, 40s, 30s, 20s. No, we had a wide range of people, and each person there wanted to play a part, which for me was just really encouraging, because I feel like I'm constantly telling people, you're not too old to do youth work. You're not... there's nothing to stop you from doing that youth work. And some of the ideas that were coming out were to have this building as a safe place for teenagers to come to. There might be an Xbox to go and play games with on. There might be the hall open for football or basketball or running around. Spaces for teenagers to come and talk and discuss and open their hearts out, and for people to listen, to respond and to pray and to journey with those teenagers through their really, really difficult years of school life and home life.
Brilliant. So people sat here who might be thinking, great, how can I get involved in that? What are some of the ways they could respond to that today?
There's so many ways to help us, from being on the ground there on the night that we host the youth group, to running around playing football with them, to being those people that are sat chatting to them, to washing up or serving drinks, or just being there in the kitchen behind the scenes, people there to help plan and support the adults that are kind of running that. And most importantly, I guess for me, is to join us in praying, to listen to what God is saying to us, and how we can be doing God's work in Holborn.
Brilliant. Okay, so it sounds like pretty much everybody sat here could be involved in some way.
Absolutely.
And if people were particularly interested, they could come and speak to you.
Definitely.
And we're looking at getting together that group of people, that team of people who could be involved in that. So please, you know who Eunice is. Please come and speak with her after the service today or the next few days and weeks. And please be praying for this new mission idea that we're having and that we're talking about. Thank you very much, Eunice. You're going to help us too with some prayers.
Yeah.
But I was going to say as well that we talk a lot about the 2020 vision that we have here as a church. And as I've been praying about that, and I was talking to Mike about this earlier, there's a real sense for me that we're nearly at 2020, just a few months away, and we need to be thinking and praying about what comes next. What is following on? What will we move on to beyond that? And if we look back over these past months, we have busy services, we have new members, we have our wonderful new kitchen. It feels as though God is blessing us as a church, as a fellowship, as a family. And here's the question I've been really wrestling with. What if God is blessing us to be a blessing? And what if God is preparing us for some new and costly and risky mission ideas in the years to come? What if this is the time that God is saying these three words to us as a church? So now, go. This is where you have come from. I know you. I know who you are. I know your weaknesses and your strengths. I'm concerned for the young people of Holborn. So now, go. And how is God speaking that to us as a church and to us as individuals? So please, let's be praying about that.